to a Hope 103.2 podcast.
Imagine the devastation felt that Friday when Jesus' followers watched the great man die before their very eyes. Having heard him teach, they were convinced his was the voice of clarity they needed amid all the stupid claims of society. Having seen with their own eyes his ability to heal, they were convinced he embodied the power of God, just as their scriptures had foretold. The proposition that he was the promised Messiah, God's eternal King, had seemed the only reasonable conclusion. But now that conclusion seemed ridiculous. There he was, not seated on a throne, surrounded by dignitaries, but on a cross, naked and bleeding, surrounded by depressed followers and disinterested bystanders. We are now a long, long way from the days when thousands hung on his every word, stood amazed at his healings, and pinned their hopes on him as the one who spoke and acted for God. This loss of hope in Jesus is seen nowhere more dramatically than in the actions of the women disciples 2 days after Jesus' death. During his lifetime, Jesus had spoken repeatedly about dying and rising again, but somehow the rising again bit didn't sink in. We're told in the gospel records that on the Sunday morning after Jesus' crucifixion, several of Jesus' women disciples bought spices and went to his tomb to anoint his body. Now, you don't anoint a body you think is about to get up again. This was actually a way of paying your last respects to a loved one. Jesus' crucifixion had so shattered his followers' belief in him that they were preparing to say goodbye to their Lord forever. These women have given up on Jesus' claim to be the Messiah, the King God sent into the world to lead us all. Despite all they've seen and heard, they've now put the life of Jesus into the category of a sentimental memory, a story to be cherished perhaps, but not one you'd base your life on. I reckon lots of people are like that. They hear a little about this great man, about his teachings, healings, or whatever, but then put his life in the category of a sentimental story. They catch a glimpse of his greatness, but then give up on the possibility that he really is as great as he first seemed. They have a sneaking suspicion that Jesus is something special, but for various reasons don't end up pursuing the matter. Let me give you some examples of what I mean. I've met plenty of people over the years who used to go to Sunday school or church, or who have fond memories of a past scripture teacher. But then, as the years rolled on and life grew more complex, the Christianity of their youth just doesn't seem to provide the answers they're looking for. Like the women at the tomb that ancient Sunday morning, these people give up on their hunches about Jesus. Others I know simply have doubting minds. They got a little interested in Jesus, but then watched some skeptical documentary raising all sorts of questions about the Bible or Jesus, and suddenly their confidence in Christ goes out the window. Most of us are unaware that the reason skeptical books and documentaries get so much publicity is precisely that they come from the shocking fringe of scholarship rather than from the boring mainstream of scholarship. I mean, the caption, "Scholars affirm the events of Easter," is hardly a sexy headline. Others give up on thinking about Christ for more psychological reasons. They've seen, perhaps, that belief in Jesus involves certain lifestyle choices, financial generosity, sexual faithfulness, or whatever, and they decide that these choices are not ones they're willing to make. Psychologists tell us that when a person's belief clashes with a desired lifestyle choice, it's often the belief that gets adjusted or discarded. I've seen mates do just that with Christ. But whatever real or imagined reasons exist for losing confidence in Christ, the events of the first Sunday after Jesus' crucifixion confront you and me with a very stark reality. And no one was more powerfully confronted by this reality than the women I just mentioned, who turned up at Jesus' tomb expecting to find a dead body. Here's a bit from Mark's gospel that describes what they found. After the Sabbath, Mary Magdalene, Salome, and Mary, the mother of James, bought some spices to put on Jesus' body. Very early on Sunday morning, just as the sun was coming up, they went to the tomb. On their way, they were asking one another, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance for us?" But when they looked, they saw that the stone had already been rolled away, and it was a huge stone. The women went into the tomb, and on the right side they saw a young man in a white robe sitting there. They were alarmed. That's Mark chapter 16. Put yourselves in their shoes. You're going to pay your last respects to someone you loved and deeply respected. Arriving, you find the grave open, your loved one gone, and a stranger standing there instead. Your first thought would undoubtedly be, someone has desecrated the grave. No wonder the passage says they were alarmed. But alarm at the thought of a grave desecration turns to outright fear at the news of Jesus' resurrection. The Gospel of Mark chapter 16 continues with these words. The man said, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus from Nazareth, who was nailed to a cross. God has raised him to life, and he isn't here. You can see the place where they put his body. Now go and tell his disciples, and especially Peter, that he will go ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there, just as he told you." When the women ran from the tomb, they were confused and shaking all over. They were too afraid to tell anyone what had happened. How strange is this? I would have thought that they'd be thrilled. Imagine hearing that a departed loved one had returned to life again. There are a few things I'd rather in life than see my dad one more time. I lost him when I was 9 years old, but I remember for years afterwards looking out for him in crowds in the childish hope that he was still alive. And so the reaction of these women is slightly bizarre. They run away, they're confused, they're shaking all over, and they're too afraid to speak to anyone about it. Why fear at the news of Jesus' resurrection? What do these women know that perhaps some of us don't? Well, put simply, they know the meaning of the resurrection. These women know that this is not simply the return of a loved one. It is, in fact, the ultimate demonstration of all that Jesus had said about himself over the previous few years. For these women, this is the moment when the whole story of Christ crashes in on them. The one we ate with, talked with, laughed with, watched die, and even gave up on, is the Messiah after all. He is the one sent to show us what God is like and to lead us in God's ways. In that moment, at the empty tomb on Sunday morning, all those sentimental ideas about Jesus as the departed loved one pale before the trembling realization that he is in fact the living Almighty One. Sentimentality gave way to faith. Mere remembrance was transformed into deep reverence. All the reasons for turning away from Christ now looked pathetic. Fear, in the sense of awesome wonder, is exactly the right response to Jesus' resurrection. And according to the Gospels, when the rest of Jesus' followers saw the risen Christ with their own eyes in the days following, they too were afraid. They all bowed the knee to Jesus, accepting his absolute power over their lives. In a way, the resurrection of Jesus should do the same thing for us all of these years later. Jesus rising from the dead is not a fairy tale. This didn't happen in Tolkien's Middle Earth or in J.K. Rowling's Hogwarts. It happened in first century Jerusalem, and the world has never been the same since. Jesus' resurrection calls on all of us to look at the empty tomb, so to speak, and know with these women that Jesus is not a lovely memory from the past. He is the risen Lord of today.
Hope 103.2. Thanks for listening.